Welcome to the Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication, the essential 7-week online course for lasting love and sex breakthroughs with relationship experts Christian Peterson and Sonica Tinker, brought to you by the Mankind Project USA.
All right, big welcome everybody to the Risk Course. Sonica and Christian here. Welcome to our living room. We're thrilled you'll be joining us. Today is the 7th and last session of the Risk Course, Creating Phenomenal Partnership. And we have a working subtitle for it is How to Do Love. And
yeah, in this session, we're actually going to give you the what we consider to be the 5 essential ingredients for how to do love. We call these the 5 tenets of love. And so you're going to learn how to best show your partner how to love him or her, which is kind of crucial for keeping the love feeling alive.
And we're going to be talking about how to strengthen the we in this union here. So as opposed to me and you, we're talking about how we make a stronger we in our relationships, which in all of which is part of how do you create a phenomenal partnership and a relationship. And towards the end, we're also going to give a review, walk you through a bit of a review of every single one of the 7 sessions that we have covered so far.
All right, so let's jump in.
We're going to jump into
the 5 tenets of love.
Yes, or as we think of it, how to do love.
Which is kind of cool, actually. So most of the time we think of love as a feeling that's either there or isn't there. And usually we're trying to, you know, get our partners to do something so we can feel it. And there really is a way to do love, like certain things we can do that help facilitate us having that feeling of love with our partner.
Yeah, you could think of it as like embodying the stance of love anytime, anywhere. It's something I have some control over that I can definitely do with a bit of practice. So here, we'll walk you through it first and then you'll get to practice it. Number 1, be acutely present. That means when I'm with you, I'm just with you. You know, whether it's for 5 seconds or 10 minutes or whatever, you have my undivided attention, as opposed to, you look great, or whatever. Or, you know, there's so much opportunity to be distracted, more and more so as our culture evolves, it seems. You know, when we go out to a restaurant, there's 5 giant screens right over Sonica's head that all play sports and news, and they're 5 different things, not to mention all the other people in the restaurant. Not to mention the thing in my hand that is always available. Be acutely present.
I kind of include, too, in being acutely present, making eye contact. You know, it really stands out for me those days or those moments in a day when Christian and I look at each other and we kind of connect all the way into the black center to that spirit and soul that's living in there. So it really is dropping down to really connect.
Yeah, indeed. Second thing is taking an active interest in someone, in this case, my partner. So I want to know about you. I want to know what turns you on and what turns you off and what's important to you and what isn't. Just like you automatically, kind of by hormonal default, did when you first got together or you first meet someone. You just have this interest to know, oh, what was it like for you to go to high school? Where did you come from? What do you like to eat? All that stuff. To keep that active interest alive. So taking an active interest in. Third, non-judgmental. And we are aware that that is easier said than done and can sometimes be difficult to pull off. But what we're aiming for is non-judgmental. That means whatever it is you're sharing with me, that I don't add my own value judgment to it. You might be sharing with me the dream you have of becoming a famous author or taking a trip around the world or how you'd like to raise your kids, whatever. Is that I let you have that. Take it at your value as opposed to judge it as wrong or stupid or bad from my own value set.
And another good practice in here with taking an active interest in and being non-judgmental is asking questions, being curious. finding out what is it about that you like. Like, I don't want to move to Texas. You do. Like, tell me more about that. You know, so that it's an opportunity to really to get underneath, so we really can have more acceptance and appreciation of our partners.
Yes, indeed. Fourth, root for, which means I root for you to have what you want, to be who you want to be, and to get what you want and to do what you want. Whether I understand it or not, which goes together with the first two ones we just talked about, it's like you might hear your kids talking about a dream they have or what they think is cool, and you might totally not understand how anybody could find it obsessively amazing to sit in front of a computer for 8 hours in a stretch shooting people, whatever. That's an example we've had in our house. But I still root for you to have what you want, whether I understand it or not. And the last one is being useful or being of service to, which is there a way that I could be of active service to you in accomplishing your goals, in being the kind of person you would like to be, in experiencing the kind of love you would like to experience, in having the kind of relationship you would like to have? Is there something actively I can do? And certainly one thing I know I can do is, well, I can be acutely present. In my judgment, that's being of service. I can ask you a question, pretending I don't know everything already, and ask you an open question. That's useful. So I can certainly always do that.
So these are what we consider to be the five tenets for how to do love. Now, that said, there are also specific things that have us feel loved in relationship. So we're going to ask this question now. We're going to actually do a little exercise here. I'll set it up a little bit more. But one of the questions you're going to be asking your partner is, how can I best show you I love you? Now, why this is important is because if you think about it, in the beginning of relationship, we're showing our love for our partners every way we can, right? We're looking at them, we're touching them, we're telling them, we're sending lots of love notes, we're writing little texts, we're giving little presents and cards, we're making dinner. We're doing so many different things that we're inevitably going to hit on that person's love strategy, you could say.
We call it the shotgun love strategy. You're just firing a shotgun and you can't miss. Something's going to hit.
Right, because we're doing everything. So we hit upon our partner's love strategy, the thing that has them feel loved. Now, often, after we've been with somebody for a while, we tend to show our love to our partners the way we like them to show love to us, which isn't necessarily what they like. You know, so after a long time being in a relationship with somebody, if you like to be looked at and I'm touching you all the time, you know, because that's what I like, because I want to be touched all the time. That's how I know I'm loved.
Yeah, how I feel loved is I like to have people tell me that I'm wonderful and give me words of appreciation, then I tend to do that with you. But if what really has you feel loved is to be touched, then you're going to end up feeling unloved despite all my tons of efforts to love you.
Yeah, we miss each other. And this is a really crucial part of where a lot of couples break down in their relationship because they have no idea. You know, it's like, wait, I am showing you I love you all the time and you're not getting it.
Right.
So in this exercise, we're going to have you ask the question, how can I best show you I love you? And here are a couple of things to look for. This is something we learned when we studied neuro-linguistic programming. They were talking about how we have different love strategies. Some people, our love strategy is more visual. And visual meaning, so I'm definitely, that's one of mine, where I really like eye contact, as you heard me mention before. I like eye contact. Some people like if they express the visual part by having somebody buy them gifts, going out of their way to do things for them, making them dinner, you know, taking them out to a special show someplace. It's doing something that is coming through the sense of the visual. So you can be looking for that as your partner is telling you what they love, how they like to have you show love. It might fall into that category. Another category, as Christian was just mentioning, is auditory. Sometimes people really like affirming words, and there can even be specific words. Like, I know one of the ways I feel really loved is when Christian looks at me and he just says, you know, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. You know, just those little bit of words have me feel so held and loved and like he's right here with me.
Yeah, I have learned with Sonika that one of mine, I too like to be told, and I really like to be told in some form that sounds like, you're a good guy. You're not doing anything wrong. Thanks for how hard you tried. All that, those particular words, for some reason, they just go right to my core and work.
And another place it might show up is more in kinesthetic, which we also were talking about, right? That's touch, sex. Sometimes that falls into the category too of spending quality time together. You know, some people really need sex and touch to feel loved. And when they don't get that for a really long time, they actually begin to feel like they don't matter. They're not important to their partner. Their partner really doesn't love or care about them. We've actually had some people say that, you know, that impacts them so deeply, it's hard for them to function out there in the world. Some people really like quality time or intimate conversation.
That means we take time. You know, the thing that really does it is if I make sure we get a babysitter and we take time to go out to a dinner or a movie on Thursday night, that's spending quality time. It often for people when it's quality time, it almost doesn't matter what the particular activity is. It's just that taking the time to spend it together with you and me, all just us doing something.
So as you ask these questions, you want to play with getting as specific as possible. So one of the ways I like being shown love is through touch. And it's a certain kind of touch when Christian kind of goes and puts his hand on my face in a certain way. You know, that just has me feel so cherished and adored.
I know.
So the more specific you can get, the better.
Sonika will sometimes come up and put her arms around me from behind, like lean her face on my back and have her arms around me. I just love that. For some reason, I don't even know why, it just helps my whole body go, it's going to be fine, and relax. And I want to say, you might have heard of the love strategies in the language of the love languages that operate with five different love languages, as opposed to what we put up here, which is three different love strategies. But it's the exact same idea in the love languages. Spending quality time is one separate love language. Words of affirmation is one separate love language. Both of these ideas totally work for this purpose. And the important thing is for me to learn about you, what is it that has you feel loved? Because if I don't know that, it's very likely that how I'm loving you simply doesn't hit fertile ground. And it's really important for me to know what is it that has me feel loved so I can have a shot at getting my need to be loved met. And I can coach you in a gentle fashion, like we're going to have you do here in a moment, for what really works for me.
The other thing that's also really great about this exercise is often what he says has him feel loved is also telling me all the ways he's showing me that he loves me. You know, because likely he's doing all those things for me. So next time, even though I really don't care about somebody cooking food for me, but that's really a big thing for him, I can really know how much love is going into that next time I get delivered a meal.
Right. And part of having a solid, well-functioning, strong partnership is that we feel loved, obviously, and that we know how to give and receive each other's offerings of love, because really that is the foundation of the whole thing, right?
So we're going to have you do this exercise right now with each other. So we're going to do what we call a repeated question. So one of you is just going to ask your partner, how can I best show you I love you? And partner answering is going to answer.
So here, we'll just go back and forth a couple of times so you can see that. Well, what I just said, when you come up behind me and you put your arms around my belly and you lean your cheek on my back, that really works.
Thank you. How can I best show you I love you? So I'm just going to keep asking that same question over and over until we tell you very clearly when to switch and the other person can go. While you're doing it, practice the five tenets of love. So be totally present, be interested in the other person, attempt to be as non-judgmental as possible about whatever it is they say that they're wanting from you or what has them feel loved, and be of use to them as you're asking the questions. be of use in helping them discover and helping you discover what makes them feel loved.
And part of being non-judgmental, by the way, is that if she's saying something that has her feel really loved, that I don't hear it as, oh, that means I'm not doing that. That would be me adding my own judgment that I'm not doing that and that you're accusing me of not doing that. That's not what this is about. It's really learning to speak each other's language, to figure out each other's love strategy so we can help provide that for each other.
All right, so decide who's gonna ask first and who's gonna answer first. And go ahead and situate yourselves if you aren't already so you can face each other and make eye contact with each other the whole time. And just one of you go ahead and ask that question of your partner, same person asking, same person answering. As soon as they answer, just say thank you and ask again until we tell you to switch.
And we'll disappear here for a moment while you do that. All right, go ahead. Go ahead and wrap up. Finish the one you're currently on. And then person who's been answering the question, say, thanks for asking. That's how. All right, everybody, take a good deep breath. And then switch other person. You ask, how can I best show you I love you while practicing the five tenets of love best you can? Go ahead. Go ahead and complete the one you're on. And person who's been answering the question, say, that's how, and thank you so much for asking. All right, everybody take a good deep breath. And come on back here.
Well, we hope you got some really good ideas from your partner about how you can show love for them. It by no means means you have to do everything, but it does give you some really great ideas to know what really touches their heart and has them feel loved.
One of the things we'll have you do for homework when we finish up the session is pick one or two of the things your partner just shared with you and actually do those. However simple or big they might be, just pick a few and do them. So we're going to show you some more ideas, practical stuff for how you can do love, share love, show love. First, we'll give you some that are specific to men and to women, and then we'll give you some that are for everybody. And truthfully, the ones we share for men and women, it's not as if only men can do them or only women can do them. We've just found, and other experts have found, that there's something to them that is specific and powerful for women and men respectively.
So you can use this as a starting point for deeper conversation between you and your partner about what works.
Right. All right, more ways to do love. For men, we'll start with, this first one is that is an expression we heard from Alison Armstrong. And we won't tell you the whole backstory. Go look up Alison Armstrong if you want to check it out. It's very entertaining and really great and easily understandable. Holding the basket basically means listen without doing anything other than listening. It means when I reconnect with you, let's say after our workday, for example, that you have been gathering information and sensory input and experiences, gathering them in your metaphorical basket all day. And really all she needs is the ability to just empty the basket. What I do is I can imagine I'm holding one and I let her empty her basket into mine. What's great about this is it'll have 9 times out of 10, it'll have Sonika or the female partner feel wonderfully understood and listened to and connected. It is a connecting exercise for her all by itself. What's great about it for me is holding the basket means the only job I'm having is holding the basket, and I'll be present with you and make eye contact. I can do that. I am not required to suggest anything.
Don't have to fix anything.
No solutions needs to be put on the table at all.
So remember, I think we said this in one of the previous classes, is that when women talk, we release oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. So when you hold the basket, when I get to just talk and you just give me your undivided attention and allow me to empty out, I feel really connected with you. I feel more connected to myself. And even if there are some troubled areas that I'm trying to work through, I often get to my own answers just in the process of talking.
Yeah. The next one is, we call it talk with a little more detail. What that means is, it's a very common experience, actually both for us and for couples in general, is that when Sonika asks me a question like,
How was your day?
My answer is, it was great. And to me, that is a complete and satisfying answer. That's all I got. At least I think. So that's how I would answer that. Often when she is inquiring with a question like that, what she's looking for is the connecting activity of passing back and forth energy, attention, words in this case. So a great tip for men for how to do love is add more detail than you ordinarily would on your own or with one of your friends. So I can say, it was great. And then I can also just share one experience I had during the day. You know, when I got there, it was kind of cool. When I got there this morning, there was like not a parking place in sight. And I was driving around and I said a little prayer to the whoever and say, okay, I really need it. I need a parking spot right now. And like literally 3 seconds later, someone backed right out right in front of the main entrance. Boom. That was a cool thing. It doesn't matter. Just add some detail and participate in this exchange of words and energy. All right. Next one. Connect and reassure. Have always the reassuring stance of I'll be back.
Especially if you have a fight or a breakdown. For a lot of women, connection is really important. You know, it's as important to us as, you know, food and water almost, you know. So when we're in a fight or we're disconnected for some reason, when you can reassure me that you still love me, the relationship is okay, you're going to be back, it doesn't mean that you're going to leave me, it doesn't mean our relationship is in dire, you know, trouble, then I get to rest, I get to relax with the space. I can actually grant you more space when I know we're still connected and you're coming back.
And really what I want when I need to go away, and it's totally fair enough that I need to go away sometimes, whether it's just for recuperating or meditating, or if we've been in a fight, I sometimes need to go away to ground myself so I can come back and finish a conversation like that. That's totally fair. If I'll just take a little time and say, I'll be back, not to worry, I'm not leaving you or anything, I'm just taking a little time. That will often save you days and weeks of disconnection, processing, and unpleasant stuff.
And really, if yours isn't, I'll be back, and it's something else, right? It's just like a little love strategy. There might be a certain something that when you hear it, it helps you relax. So great way. Keep the connection going.
Yeah. And another tip for taking with you is read this book. This is a book I wrote. Hold it up here. It's called When You Love Your Woman. 129 1-minute lessons to win a woman's heart.
It's actually written for guys, so it's like a paragraph and a picture.
Yep, that's like, you can literally read every single one of them in less than a minute.
And it's got lots of really great ideas in it.
Chock full of great ideas.
We've had women read the book and say they cried to feel so seen and gotten for what is really needed and important to them. So
it's approved and it's proofread by women also to assure that it actually works and stuff that's in there. All right, cool. So we'll give you a couple of specifics for women as well.
So the first one we put up there is giving space. So one of the things that we actually heard once is that men and women have different strategies that they employ when they feel stressed out. Women want to talk because that makes us feel connected. And men often need space, as Christian just so beautifully, eloquently said here, which is that, you know, they need space to go off and recenter themselves. And for us women, as I was just saying, you know, sometimes we can feel disconnected when our men go off to take space. Christian and I used to have lots of fights in the car because I used to think, oh my God, this is our opportunity to be together and have a great conversation. And Christian would be driving.
I'd be like, 3 hours of just staring at the open road.
So needless to say, we used to have a couple of little arguments and fights about that until we sort of came to a place of understanding that I like conversation. So we have some conversation and he gives me a little more detail and we can kind of build off of each other in conversation the way that I like. And there are also times when I join him in the silence. There are times when I give him space. And in that spaciousness, there is just as much a rich feeling of connection between us now as when we are talking. And it's important for, just as much as I want him to talk for me, he sometimes wants me to join him in the silence. So that's one way that I can do love for him. Another way to do love is, as Christian Org actually already said as well, right, is to affirm that he's a good man. You know, one of the things that we've really come to discover in our work with thousands of couples is that men are working so hard to make us happy. You know, partners are working very, very hard. And so when we can actually say to our partners, you're doing a great job. Thanks for everything you're doing. You're a good man. It makes all the difference. We've actually had some men say that when they feel criticized, it feels like it undoes all the good they ever did. So one way we can kind of counteract that is to be sure that we really do appreciate them and go out of our way to notice all of the ways they are showing their love for us. And sometimes it's in very different ways than we show love. Like, you know, Christian actually just went to an MKP weekend last weekend. And one of the ways he showed love for me is he made sure the inside wood cupboard was totally full of wood. And the little, I don't know, what do you call the wood holder by the wood stove? You can't see where I'm pointing over here, but it was all filled up and ready to go. And he had a fire already burning for me before he left the house. So to really say, God, wow, that was really cool. Thank you so much for expressing your love that way. So that he gets noticed for what he is doing, not just having all my attention on what he isn't doing.
Right.
So next piece is really appreciate effort, all the ways that they try. You know, us women are the relationship-centered ones, and sometimes we compare, you know, men to our standards. And so really to be able to appreciate them for where they are leaning in, for what they are giving and contributing to us.
All right, here. And then we're going to share with you some additional ways to do. So we're wanting to put some amazing stuff in your toolbox here. So we'll go through more and teach as we go here. So one is, we already mentioned that's going to be part of your homework this time. Do what your partner told you, make them feel loved. So simply pick one or two things and do it. Just like that.
Yeah, do one every day. Keep up this practice of doing three appreciations before you go to bed every night.
Right. So this next one is really important. Receive each other's bids for intimacy. The bids for intimacy, you might have heard that out there from relationship experts. Some people talk about it as bids for attention, bids for intimacy, or bids for connection. It's basically and typically an unconscious act. If I'm the one putting out the bid, that basically says, hey, wanna join my world for a moment? Wanna connect or be intimate for just a moment? And it can be, it's any simple thing. It's me looking out the window. This is one of the examples I heard from, I believe the first time I heard this was from John Gottman. And I think the example he gave was me looking out the window saying, you see that bird out there? Isn't that amazing? She has a chance to now either accept my bid for intimacy or reject it. So she can say, yeah, wow, that's a cute bird. That's receiving it. Or she could say, what are you pointing at? What are you pointing out a stupid bird for? It's just a dot in the sky, which would be dejecting it or rejecting it, which has pretty, it just feels like an ouch.
It also has some severe consequences. I mean, they've actually demonstrated that couples who have good, strong, thriving marriages are ones who respond to each other's bids for attention and connection. And as I've been paying attention to this in our relationship, there are so many places that shows up. You know, Christian last night wanted to show me a funny spoof.
Funny YouTube clip.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, well, you look at this, you know, I see something on Facebook, look what somebody posted, or here's an email from this person, or, you know, Christian will sometimes say, you know, dinner's ready. I'm sitting down now. Like, want to come join me?
Yeah. Or, you know, I'll sometimes put on, I remember this crazy piece of music, like a piece of Queen music or whatever from when I was young. I'm like, oh yeah, that was so fun. Here, check this out. And Sonica is really great at, even though I promise you she doesn't on her own care for that sort of stuff much, but she's really great at just, you know, joining with me for the 2 minutes or whatever it takes, which is just so sweet and has me feel seen in my little world. All right, so...
respond to each other's bids and pay attention to them. And you can even have a little signal. If, you know, if you're not used to moving that way with each other, you know, you could have a little, you know.
This is one of those bids.
This is a bid. Like, you know, would you meet me? Because it really is like, you know, a little kid offering a mud pie. You know, it wants to be seen and appreciated, if even for a few seconds. And that is like putting money in the bank. You know, those investments are going to pay off really well. So the next time you have a breakdown or disagreement, you're going to be able to, you know, fall back on all of the appreciation that you've been building up from these little interactions that make a big difference.
It totally will. All right.
So the next one really is take time to understand each other, to really listen to each other. You know, one of the things we've really come to discover is that everything always makes sense from the other person's point of view. Everything they do, everything they say, everything they move towards, everything they resist. And when we are angry or hurt or judging or, you know, resentful, any negative feeling, it's because we don't understand what is really going on over there. We don't have the full story. You know, it's kind of that idea, you know, if I walk a mile in your moccasins, I'm going to understand you a whole lot more than when I don't. So to really take time to not assume you know, it's so easy for us to overlay our own, you know, like what I make up about things or what I feel about things. And so, of course, you do too. And, you know, that's why, you know, you're doing this, or it means you hate me or you don't really want to be with me when you're watching that TV show, or when you, you know, always put the dishes in the sink instead of the dishwasher. So when I can slow it down to ask questions, can you tell me more, like what's going on for you in the background when you do this? What's your experience? It breeds so much compassion and understanding, and can avoid fights. Can avoid future fights because now you have a larger background to bring with you to the conversation.
Yeah. Notice where you're the same. You know, often in breakdowns, all we focus on is where we're different. So I know I like staying home and you always want to go out, or I like saving money and you always want to spend it, or I, you know, I like vanilla ice cream and you always want to put weird stuff in it. Notice though where we're the same, because if you look for that, you'll find that you're the same in a whole lot more places than you might initially expect. So it turns out, you know, even if we have disagreements over child rearing, for example, we are definitely both committed to our kids being happy, independent, loved, feeling celebrated and seen and cherished by us. We definitely both want them to be able to make their own decisions and to learn to, you know, learn from their own mistakes. I mean, there's so many things we are totally on the same page about. We're the same in that we want to feel loved by the other person. We're the same in that we don't like feeling criticized. We're the same in that we try hard and do our best to be good people, and so on and so forth. Deliberately look for where you are the same. That is a really powerful strategy. And you'll notice all these little ones we're putting up here, each one of them over time will either create a beautiful foundation for you, or the failure to do them would poke holes in your foundation over and over and over and over again until your house just can't stand anymore and will crumble. All right, cool.
Another one. This is a really
big here one. I accidentally put two up, so just look at the first one there.
Think and speak in we. Here, I'll let you do that one. I'll do the next one.
All right, cool. Think and speak in we, as opposed to just me. So that was a really big, for me, I'll just say from this man's shoes, moccasins, I was and still am, it's my natural default to think in terms of myself. I think I'm really great at taking care of myself. I'm really great at knowing what I need and when I need it. And I'm great at saying yes and no when I need it so that I get what I want. But I often don't think in terms of, oh, what's the we here? And it's been really great letting Sonica has been, being with Sonica has really helped me when I opened up to the possibility, oh yeah, that we can have what we want as well as I can have what I want. And Sonica and I, in the beginning, when we first started out, we were so disparate. And, you know, we lived in different countries. We have a big age difference. Sonica had children already. It just looked like an impossible thing we had going on. So one of the ways we got started bridging those big differences was we began to speak and think in we. So as opposed to, hey, I'm 15 years younger, or you got kids, I don't, or I live in Denmark, you live in California. We began to say things like, well, we have family in Denmark and we have family in America. We have a house in America and we have a house in Denmark. We live in so on and so forth. We wanna move in together and we don't wanna move in together. And part of beginning to think in we, you'll notice we talked a little bit about it in the session that was all about conflict, is we take the time it takes to reach common ground before we decide big stuff.
It's actually one of our operating agreements. Is if I want to buy something, or I want to go somewhere, or I want to do something that's a big investment of time or money, resources, if he's not aligned with it, or I'm not aligned with it, if he's the one that wants to move, we kind of take that as a, okay, it's not quite ready yet.
Don't do it yet.
Don't do it yet.
It doesn't mean we're not going to get what we want. It doesn't mean I'm not going to go get to go on that trip I want to go. Just don't quite do it yet. And we had early in our work together, a young couple came to us that gave us a classic example of what happens when you don't do this.
No, yeah.
So they were a young couple just starting out in life. They didn't have a lot of money. And the guy was really helping on getting a boat. And he wanted to take his kids out on the lake, and he really wanted a boat, but they couldn't quite afford it. The woman, she really wanted them to start a 401k instead with that money. He went out and just bought the boat.
Anyways,
they did not agree on it at all. He just did it. And she was, for one, super pissed and felt betrayed and not included, as you might imagine. But now also the consequence of that is they now had this giant boat taking up their entire driveway.
And they didn't have
the money to put gas in it or take it to the lake. So they didn't have the money to do anything with it. It was just sitting there as a monument to their failure to move as a team. So that's I guess that's the bad story of don't do that. And in our experience, it works out a lot better when you take the time to.
Exactly. So that's why we have that as a working agreement. If we're not both an aligned yes, we don't take action until we are. And you can remember from the Gift of Conflict workshop, you know, the session here that we did, we talked about the importance of I want this, you want this, we want this, we want that, and using that place of we to come to a place of agreement, to come to some step you can take, some place where you can find a win-win. I'll say, you know, the other thing that's kind of behind this is we once heard one of the definitions of marriage really is where I declare that my concerns are as important as yours. Yours are as important as mine. I'm not going to betray mine to take care of yours, and I'm not going to betray yours to take care of mine. I'm going to stay in here until we come up with a win-win. Because even if I get my way and you're not happy, I didn't get what I wanted because it's important for both of us to be happy, for me to be happy. So next one, take responsibility. Own what you want. Own what you're making up. Own the experience that you're after. Step into living in the question to figure out what you can do to give yourself the experience, what actions you can take. There are three basic ways that you can take responsibility. One is, I'm going to say these three like this, right? Past, present, and future. So one way to take responsibility is to look backwards at what have I done to help create this situation? What have I contributed to this current predicament?
That's normally how people look at taking responsibility. What did I do that caused this something to happen?
Another way to take responsibility is to look from the present at what am I doing right now to keep this going? What do I get to be right about, right? Where am I contributing it to it staying this way? What evidence am I looking for? What areas where I am getting what I want, am I leaving out, filtering out?
A typical thing is if we're having a relationship breakdown, a thing I'm often doing still is I keep complaining about it. I complain without doing anything else. That is often one way that I am keeping this breakdown happening over and over again.
Another way to take responsibility is more from the future vantage point or looking forward, which is one of my personal favorites actually, which is how can I use what's going on right now to better empower my own full potential, yours, make our relationship even better? How can I use this breakdown to benefit us both in a really great positive way? That is another way to take responsibility and keep you out of victim and complaint and really using everything that shows up to some positive good advantage.
Yes. All right, put the slide back up here.
All right, the next one. So you might remember from the class we did about makeups and beliefs. Well, we've got some meta beliefs we really recommend you adopt as a good way to do love.
If you can install, we'll give you three examples. If you can install these three in your software, it's our experience that just helps. It's like it keeps a warm, effective, lovely umbrella over yourself and over your relationship. That's what a meta belief does or is. One, everything I want is coming. Or in other words, I'm gonna get what I want, even if I don't know right now how that's gonna come about. I choose to believe that what I want, I can have. All right, so that's one of them.
It produces a great mood of peace.
Oh yeah, total relief. And also it means if we right now, we can't agree on how to make a certain something happen. My boat, for example. Even if it's a no from you initially, I still hold, I'm gonna somehow get what I want one way or the other. And it's okay if it doesn't happen right now, but I will. All right, second.
My partner wants me to have what I want. So I just kind of spoke to that a little bit and the we, right? Is if I get what I want and you don't, or same vice versa, like let's just say you get your boat, right? Now you got a pissed off wife. Did you really get what you wanted? No, your picture was a whole family, happy family on the lake. You know, you got now you got yourself a pissed off wife. So when we can instead think like, okay, we both want each other to get what we want, because that is where we are going to be the happiest. And we're not going to stop until we both get 100% of what we want. And we can really rest inside of that. Now I don't have to fight you. I can just partner with you, which is a completely different mood to resolve conflicts inside of.
Yes. Lastly, I am loved.
You love me.
I'm loved. She loves me. I love me. Spirit loves me, or the God of your understanding loves me. So much of the chaos and breakdown that often happens in relationship is our subversive ways of trying to convince ourselves that we are indeed loved. Often what we end up proving to ourselves is the shadow side of that, which says I'm not loved. So I create all this chaos that would have me be right about that. If I can really embody, I am loved, it will have me relax and trust and be so much less affected by the times where we do have an upset of some sort.
A great way to experiment with adopting these new meta beliefs is to turn them into questions. How would I be right now if I knew everything I wanted was coming? How would I be right now if I knew you wanted me to have what I want? How would I be with you right now if I knew you loved me? What would I do right now if I remembered I loved you? You can turn them into questions that kind of throw you into that thought pattern and into the corresponding experience that they bring, and create it to be more true for you by doing so.
Yes. All right, so here, we want you to have a chance to practice some of this here with each other.
So we're going to do another exercise. So this is a personal favorite here. We're going to do another repeated question. And this time, what one of you is going to ask your partner is, what would you like to be seen, acknowledged, or celebrated for?
I would like to be acknowledged for being a great father, and for being a dedicated husband, and for being a good guy.
Thank you. What else would you like to be seen, acknowledged, or celebrated for?
For always trying my best and never being one to say, screw it, it's not worth making an effort. You know, I'd like to be known for being someone who tries hard, who puts diligent effort into, you know, the tasks that I have in life, whether they involve just me or you or the family or everybody else.
Thank you. What would you like to be seen, acknowledged, or celebrated for?
For being a really good friend. You know, I would like to be known for being someone who can be relied upon. You know, someone who other people would say about me, that's a good friend right there. That's a guy who's got my back.
Thank you. So you're just going to, same thing, you're just going to keep asking that same question of your partner. And those of you who are answering, this is an opportunity for you to really bring out what you'd like to be noticed for, what you'd like to be celebrated for. And it can be something for right now. It could be something that you did 20 years ago. It could be for some legacy you'd like to leave before you die.
That you haven't even made yet.
So you can kind of go wherever you'd like to go in your responses to this question.
And if you're, you know, we have four different words on the screen: seen, known, celebrated, and acknowledged. It's okay to pick just one or two every time you're asked the question. What would you like to be seen for? Thank you. What would you like to be acknowledged for? Thank you. So that's one thing. If you're doing this by yourself, speak it out loud or journal it on your, you know, on your phone or however you like to take notes. What would you like to be seen and known and celebrated for? So we'll disappear while you do that. And one of you just begin. You ask the question over and over again, and then we'll tell you to switch and the other person will go.
And stay in eye contact the whole time.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead. One person asking, one answering until we tell you to switch.
Go ahead and complete the one you're on. Person who's been asking the question, say thank you so much for sharing all of that. Everybody take a deep breath. And go ahead and switch other person, your turn to ask, what do you want to be seen, known, celebrated, or acknowledged for? Go ahead. Start wrapping up your shares. Complete the one you're on. And person who's been asking the question, say thank you so much for sharing all of that. All right, everybody take a deep breath. And come on back here.
So we want to encourage you to revisit those couple of repeated questions. How can I show you I love you? What would you like to be celebrated for, acknowledged for? And then deliver those appreciations, do those things. They'll definitely have you feel more connected and in love with each other.
All of which supports creating the foundation for a phenomenal partnership.
You know, I actually want to add one more thing that we never really talked about that I just thought of actually, and that is to be gentle with each other. You know, one of the And another thing that Christian and I kind of include in our relationship is not only do we want to empower and support each other's full potential, but we also want to protect those small, tender parts, you know, that really aren't perfect. The places where we do fall short, where we make mistakes, where we do things we regret and really need to be forgiven for. So just as another place of expressing partnership or being in partnership, being in loving partnership, is to be willing to forgive each other. So if you need additional support with that, please don't hesitate to contact us, because we have like a whole little thing we could offer for how to support you to clean up mistakes when you make them, and really to extend that, you know, that little olive branch of peace in the form of forgiveness and really protecting each other's small and tender parts.
I know, I read a quote somewhere. I'm paraphrasing from another relationship expert. I don't remember who said that, you know, basically one of the main things that has a relationship or marriage be long lasting and successful is at any given time you make up the most generous possible explanation for the other person's actions. Which in our language is you give them the benefit of the doubt, or you connect every time to the positive intent that is always inherent in any action they take, however ridiculous or immature the behavior itself might seem.
And I'm reminded actually that when Chris and I have gotten into our worst fights, he's so sweet. He'll come up and he'll just look at me and say, "Remember me?
I'm the guy who lives with you.
I'm the guy who loves you." And it really does. It helps me, like, yeah, I remember. I remember that sweet, sweet, innocent man in there.
Yeah.
So just be gentle with yourselves.
And here, we're today talking about how to create phenomenal partnership. And of course, every one of the seven sessions in this course that you've been part of, the RISC course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, Communication, every single one of them is a building block to create a phenomenal partnership. So here, this is the final session, number seven. So here we're going to do a quick condensed review of every one of the seven sessions up through today.
And I want to encourage you guys to review these. There is so much material on these, and we certainly don't expect you to have mastered these in just 7 weeks. You know, it definitely takes recurrence and practice over time.
Yeah.
So be gentle with yourselves, review them. Don't worry if certain practices fall off as you focus in on others. Just, you know, just pick one or two or three, keep them going. They'll make a difference.
Yeah. And we'll put up on the screen here, as you see, session one, fresh start. Don't worry about if you can read the whole thing here. It'll be in the materials that accompany this course as well.
So in the first class, we actually talked about making a distinction between your full potential and how you happen to be acting that's not a total match to that yet. We all have a gap. So we showed you how much direct power your words and thoughts have on your relationship, and how to reinforce you want by seeing and looking for opportunities to reinforce your full potential. So we want to encourage you to keep that on as an ongoing practice here. This fresh start of seeing your partner's full potential, saying what you love and what you adore every single day, because that is what is going to have your partner be inspired to step into their full potential, as well as for you to identify yourself as your own full potential and keep stepping inside of that. Put your best foot forward.
Yes. Session two, we called our fulfillment formula, eradicating complaint and criticism. We spoke about how not to get stuck in complaints and triggered reactions, and how to move as quickly as possible from what we don't want towards what we do want. And the fastest way we have found out is this formula, the fulfillment formula. And it's a simple model. You start with what I don't want, and you immediately go to what I do want. And you'll remember we talked about the difference between form and experience. So once you access the form of what you want, then you drop immediately below the form to the desire you have, to the positive feeling that you are wanting, that you are trying to create. Once you have that, you know, a simple example could be, I don't want you to yell at me. I do want you to speak respectfully to me. what's the experience I would have if you did that? Oh man, I feel relaxed and loved. And then how to put it into action is you simply ask, if I were relaxed and loved right now, what could I do? What could I say? The first thing that comes to mind, do that. That is your action from the desired state you truly want.
All right, session the third three. Session, the true source of upset. So this is probably one of the most potentially impactful, and that is to remember that you're not really upset about what your partner said or did, but really what you're making up about what your partner said or did. And remember here, the quality of your relationship is the quality of your makeups. It's the quality of your story. It's the quality of your beliefs. So the more you have positive makeups, the more positive your story is. Assume positive intent in your partner, right? Look for positive things you can make up and take responsibility for your negative stories. Check them out. Your partner might not actually be, you know, really thinking or, you know, have running in the background what you're making up. So it can be really good to check that out too and just get grounded in it.
Yeah, a great way to communicate is to say it like this, you know, I'm making up that it doesn't matter how I clean this table, you still come over and tell me that it's not right. Is there any truth to that? You just ask.
A really great way to put it all together really is when you behavior, I felt feeling, what I made up about that is makeup, right? That is a little formula for the stimulus makeup response. So you can just say, wow, when you behavior, I felt feeling, what I made up about that is, and really what I want is, and you just jump to, you know, I really don't want, I do want, and the, why I want that is the experience I'm after. You put that all together and you can very quickly move yourself from complaint and upset to being well on your way to creating something positive out of that interaction.
You bet. All right, session four, accessing the gifts in conflict. So you might remember, underneath every conflict is a desire for something good, something that wants to change. And sometimes there's a call for us to create this, you know, something that's even better, something new that we haven't thought of yet. So to move from conflict and resentment towards win-win solutions that take care of what you both want to create, you speak in we, as we suggested. You might remember we showed you this, we gave you the model of these two circles. It's like a Venn diagram. We call them the conflict circles. And where we start out on each position, and it looks like it's impossible for us to ever find resolution. But if we can come into this space where there's an overlap, there is magic and possibility that happens in that space where there is overlap. And we find from that solutions that take care of both of us, that we can both say, yeah, that's a good idea. And another great tip we gave you in that is to, when you look for solutions after having gone through the process, is see if you can brainstorm 10 possible solutions first, and then try to pick one that you can try out.
Session five, we talked about the healthy masculine, and we actually encouraged you to play with generating spark by stepping more into leading and following more powerfully. We dared you to express your masculine force by stepping in more firmly without wobble in your presence with your partner to fill them up with that healthy electric masculine force. And at the same time, allowing for your partner to practice letting go and surrendering and opening up their heart as completely as possible. So we encourage you to keep playing with that energy. There is so much potential spark available in that interaction with each other that you can free up by stepping into the healthy masculine.
Or by eliminating the question mark or the excuse and simply own what you want and bring it forward with force and with an open heart. All right. Number six, that was last time we talked about more better sex, we simply called it. So we suggested a new way to approach sex. So instead of waiting for those, you know, magical times when all the conditions are perfect, that is, you both want to, you're both in the mood, that is, the calendar is free, the kids are in bed, there's nothing else restricting you, you don't have to get up at 5:30. You know, instead of waiting for those magical times, is to instead initiate sex from the perspective of what it truly provides to you as an individual and to you as a union. We spoke about how you can then generate desire. It's not that you don't want to have desire. We gave you lots of ideas for how do you actually generate it out of thin air, desire and spark, so that you both want to make sex a priority. And we talked about literally the importance of making sex a priority. Just like you don't forget to bring your kids to school or you don't forget to go to work, also don't forget to tend to your sex life, because it's really it's one of the pieces of glue that keeps a union together.
And then today we have talked about the 5 essential ingredients for how to do love, plus a bunch of other ideas for how you can do love with your partner and how to move more effectively as loving, tender, rooting for each other partners. It's really, really important to keep remembering that your partner is doing their best and that by uniting, there really is more possible than when we go at each other like we're enemies. To come together as partners from this loving space means much more is possible.
Yes. And this also, I want to say this review is also, it's written down in the materials that come with this course. So don't worry if you didn't get everything or you can't remember everything. It's fine.
And now we're, as I said earlier, right, we're aware that you can't master every single skill that we've given you here in these 7 courses in 7 courses, 7 weeks. You know, it takes recurrence and practice for us bodies to learn new ways of being. So do be gentle with yourselves and just do a little bit every day. I mean, literally, it's a little like just changing the rudder of a ship. You know, you just change it a little degree. You know, you can shift your whole direction. And really, any one of these practices can make a profound difference in your relationship if you commit to them and take them on.
Yeah, so before we give you like the homework we're suggesting for this week, the overall homework here is to keep this alive for yourself. Actually, we also have that as homework, so I'll just go straight to that. Why don't I? Because it's actually already written down there for you. So practices and homework this week. Do love every day. And preferably don't ever stop. Show your partner you love him or her and you do it your way and do it the way you know he or she likes. So one of the things that got shared here on the call, when you learned 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 things that you know make your partner feel loved, pick 1 or 2 of those and do those because you're going to know that it works.
And I'm going to add to this one as well. Pay attention to your partner's bids and respond to those. That is a really great way to show your partner you love them by being interested in and meeting them, receiving their bids for connection.
Even if you think what it is they're interested in is totally boring, like whatever that Facebook thing about cats that you just couldn't care less about. If you'll just take 30 seconds and say, hey, thanks for showing me. That's going to make, over time, that makes such a huge difference.
And then lastly, really,
I had that written down already.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did. And then the last one here really is decide on a way to keep this material alive for you. You've been setting this time aside every week to complete this 7-week course. Why not keep it going? You know, keep getting together the same hour and a half every week to work one of the materials, you know, one of the processes that we gave you in this course.
Or simply to have it be we time. Maybe that's just us time and you take turns figuring out something to do. It could be watching a movie or taking a walk in the park or whatever.
Or having sex. So yeah, keep your relationship a priority. So we encourage you to somehow keep it alive, put it in the calendar is often a really good way to make sure your relationship stays a priority.
Yeah, you bet.
So we want to say thank you so much for being with us here at the Risk Course. We hope you have been able to take advantage of the value that we've given to you here. And we absolutely know that this material will make a profound difference for your relationship if you keep putting it into practice.
Yeah, and we want to say thank you very much to you all for being someone who would spend your time and money and resources to strike out for love, to make your love stronger and better, and to have your relationships work awesomely. That speaks well of you, and we love you for doing that and for the modeling that that sends out into the world to your kids, your friends, whoever you are around.
And a big thank you to the Mankind Project.
That's right.
For hosting this event, for promoting it, and being the platform from which we can bring this love and material to you.
Yeah, for the men in your world, you can find more about Mankind Project at mkp.org. And this is Sonica and Christian. We're checking out for now. You can find more about our work at loveworksforyou.com.
Yeah, please know we're available to you. We do individual and couple sessions by phone and in person. We do additional live trainings in a lot more detail in all of the material that we've given you here. We have like a whole 2-day training, for example, just on conflict. We have a whole 2-day training just on the masculine feminine energy dance. So there's much to be said about a live training where you get supported to actually practice over and over and over again these new exercises. So if you're interested in more, please don't hesitate to check us out. Know that we are here for you.
Yes. Here's a giant high five, and we love you. It's been wonderful hanging out with you.
Thanks, everybody.
The Risk Course, copyright 2016, Mankind Project USA, all rights reserved. No portion of this material may be reproduced without written permission.